Embrace the Word for Monday, June 15, 2026. Embracing Psalm 77. Psalm 77 traces the struggle from a restless doubt about the ways of the Lord to a reassured rest in the ways of the Lord. The superscription of this Psalm of Asaph does not offer any particular historical details. To the choir master, according to Jeduthun, a Psalm of Asaph. The content of this psalm itself helps us to understand that Asaph is struggling as he expresses with great turmoil how to make sense of what the Lord has promised and what is actually unfolding around him. Jeduthun was one of the men to whom David entrusted the responsibilities of Israel's worship music. See 1 Chronicles 16:38-42. While this psalm is attributed to Asaph, the mention of Jeduthun, who is also mentioned in Psalms 39 and 66, suggests that either he played a lead role in its final musical arrangement, or perhaps Jeduthun was a particular musical style of which the psalm was arranged. Psalm 77 shares some links with Psalm 76, but interestingly, it has a great deal more in common with Psalm 74. Both Psalm 77 and Psalm 74 emphasize the matter of remembering. 74:2 and 18, 77:3, 6, and 11. But also forgetting. 74:19 and 23, 77:9. Psalms 77 and 74 also each make much reference to the imagery from the Exodus. 74:12-17, 77:16-20. Psalm 74 states the question, how long? 74:9-10, while Psalm 77 wonders if God has rejected his people. 77:7-9. Psalm 77 begins with prayerful honesty before the Lord, 77:1-10, and concludes with prayer-filled hope from the Lord, 77:11-20. Psalm 77 opens with the language of turmoil being poured out to the Lord. I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me, 77:1. For emphasis, Asaph tells us twice that he cries aloud to God. This psalm expresses much sorrow and struggle, but it also offers great clarity as to what to do when in trouble and turmoil, difficulty and distress, struggles and sorrows. We are to turn to the Lord. The solution to our troubles, difficulties, and struggles is not within the operations of our own hearts and soul, neither is it merely looking around for aid and advice from others. While there can be a place for personal assessment and evaluation, as well as counsel and guidance from wise companions, ultimately, we cry out to God in prayer. Asaph expresses a crucial conviction that undergirds and stirs him to pray. He will hear me. Asaph has a confidence driving his prayer, and that confidence is rooted in the fact that God hears the prayers of his people. Without such a confidence and conviction, we would have one more reason to flounder in our crying out to the Lord. Asaph clarifies the reality and intensity of his turmoil, distress, and sorrow. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. 77:2. Day and night are mentioned as Asaph's situation has encompassed him. The trouble has unfolded during the day, and it lingered well into the night as Asaph is alone with God, holding out his hands before the Lord in prayer. And yet, Asaph cannot find any comfort. He is afflicted in his thoughts and recollections. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. Selah 77:3. Asaph is left with a groaning in the deliberation of his distress, and weakened by the consideration of his affliction. Asaph explores further the agony of his sleepless nights. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled I cannot speak. 77:4. Asaph implies that it is the Lord himself who is keeping him up so that he might cry out to the Lord. And yet he is so weary that he cannot articulate his prayers. Asaph seeks to reflect back on the mighty acts of God in Israel's past. I consider the days of old, the years long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. 77:5-6. Asaph diligently and earnestly seeks to reflect on the ways that the Lord has acted on behalf of his people. Such a search not only left him unrelieved, but his recollections of the Lord's past faithfulness has caused his struggles to become more severe. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Selah. 77:7-9. Asaph is overwhelmed with questioning doubts. Will the God who promised to be gracious now reject us? Will the posture of the Lord to be favorable to his people now cease? Will the unchangeable nature of God's steadfast love be changed toward us? Will the God who stated that he is our God no longer be our God? Has God's anger prompted him to clench his hands against us and withhold his grace from us? Asaph is swirling in confusion between what God has revealed about himself in his word, as well as through his past mighty acts, and what he now sees before him. Asaph acutely feels the dissonance between what God has said and worked in the past and how he is not working at present. Asaph, in the midst of his struggles, discovers fresh hope. Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. 77:10. The Lord turns Asaph around. Literally, Asaph's focus in the first half of Psalm 77 is himself. For instance, in the first 6 verses, Asaph uses the first person pronoun, I, me, my, 18 times, and refers to God 6 times. Asaph's focus is flipped in the second half of Psalm 77. For instance, in the last 9 verses, Asaph refers to God 20 times and to himself not at all. Asaph has disappeared. Not really, but we must use wisdom on how we focus on ourselves and our troubles. If we are not careful, our problems will increase and our vision of God will decrease. How we look at God helps put our situation in proper proportion. Asaph realizes that he is appealing to the Most High. This realization brings a reset with Asaph, not as to his approach, but to the perspective he brings to the same approach. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. 77:11-12. Previously, as Asaph remembered and meditated, he felt worse about his situation. But now, as Asaph remembers and meditates, he at present sees the Lord more clearly. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among your peoples. 77:13-14. With a clear focus on the Lord, Asaph frames his last segment around 2 statements that summarize God's mighty acts surrounding the Exodus. Asaph declares, You with your arm redeemed your people, the God of Jacob and Joseph, Selah, 77:15. But also, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron, 77:20. In between these statements, Asaph highlights the events of the Red Sea parting to the frightful sensations out at Mount Sinai. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. 77:16-18. But while the Lord redeemed his people and led his flock, his ways were often undetectable. Your way was seen through the sea, your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. 77:19. The Lord is unseen, and discerning either the acts or the delay of God's acts are not completely knowable to us. He does redeem and lead, but that does not mean that the details of his redeeming and leading is easy to sort out. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments! How unscrutable his ways! See Romans 11:33. As we reflect on Psalm 77, we can consider the vital importance of remembering. Remembering is an essential spiritual activity that helps a believer reinforce their identity in Christ as well as reinvigorate their transformation in the likeness of Christ. Conversely, forgetting or not remembering is a pathway to spiritual atrophy and danger. Asaph unfolds the importance of remembering. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. 77:11-12. The Apostle Peter highlighting the importance of remembering. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Though you know them and are established in the truth that you have, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure you may be able at any time to recall these things. See 2 Peter 1:12-15. Peter states the importance of remembering as he says, I intend always to remind you, to stir you up by way of reminder, and that after my departure you may be able at any time to recall. Our spiritual growth entails remembering truths, such as what Christ has accomplished for us, as well as how we are to apply Christ's grace to our lives. Consider the role of the key aspects of the Lord's Supper in our lives. A key aspect of participating in the Lord's table is to consider the elements of the supper and remember. For Jesus directed, as he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. See Luke 22:19. That's all for Embrace the Word for Monday, June 15, 2026. I look forward to being back with you for the Wednesday, June 17, 2026 episode of Embrace the Word as we take a look at Psalm 78.